Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your host, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, true, in Europe? Soccer?
We can, ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagru.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flus over there.
I'm not Captain Flus.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on your
wow.
Show,
which maybe no, I have the talent. Is that what we find out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Now, I am your host, Ryan Dangle. That's number 10, 10 in a row. I don't really just, before I bring the guys on to the show, 10 in a row does not do justice to that thing that we watched on Thursday. It wasn't really a football game as much as it was torture for all Seahawks fans and Bears fans to be a part of it. Ah, Jack Wright, I'm so excited to bring him to the stage. If you want to find Jack on Twitter, it's at BearDownJack. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle, D-E-N-G-E-L. You can continue the long string of hatred that is coming my way because people think I thought Caleb was perfect. Jack, I know I'm talking to the club. You put out a tweet, And people read it wrong, or it just goes awry. And it's just, Brendan is like, he's the master at it. I still, like, even if I mute it, I'm still like taking it personal. Tell me how to let it go. Let it go.
It's tough because I think we are the types of people that feel all the feels. And so this whole world of Twitter and you know, being on the pod, we've had to try to shift to a different mindset, but yeah, you can't change your true colors. You know, I mean, there was a guy today who was like, "Tell me you haven't watched the game without telling me you haven't watched the game." And I'm like, "I watched the whole damn game, bro." Like, why do you have to go directly to a-hole mode on Twitter? I will never understand it as someone who just tries to approach people with kindness and graciousness. I guess we are just outliers, Ryan, but you know, yeah. Stay golden, pony boy. That's what I say.
I'll just say this. I posted something in the middle of the second quarter, and people like 2 days later were like, "That's your takeaway?" I'm like, no, it isn't. That was long, long time ago. Like, we're on to the next thing. But again, I don't, you know what? Let's bring in the assistant editor of Bears Wire, Brendan Chagru. If you want to find him on Twitter, it's at Brendan Chagru. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Brendan, how do you, the Zen master of just moving on, how do you deal with the utter stupidity that is people, you know, taking stuff out of context or not reading it right or whatever it is, you know, getting it way after the fact? Like, how do you deal with that?
Man, you just keep firing. You just keep firing tweets. You don't care about, you know, like, whatever you tweeted out, that's done, that's over with. Like, I used to, and I will say, I used to be like that, where I'm like, "Guys, like, you're missing the context or whatever." And somebody, I forget who it was. It might have been it might have been somebody like Shane Marsaw or something, or even like Herb Lawrence. I don't know. This was like a few years ago. But they would just say like, no, you had it right. Like some people just don't like contextualize things and that's on them and you just got to move on. Or if I like said something wrong or something like that and somebody's going after me, I know Shane definitely said this to me. He's like, you know what? You could have maybe used a better word, but like still it's accurate. Like that's on them. Like, don't worry about it. Move on. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I am going to move on. There was speaking of tweets during the horrendous Bears game, because that was the tweets were just more entertaining than the actual game. Let's be real.
I don't see that was terrible. It was terrible. Yeah. Sorry, Brendan.
Yeah. I think it was the first drive that Tremaine Edmonds had the interception in his hands. He got hit by TJ Edwards. He couldn't come up with it. And I just tweeted out like, Tremaine Edmonds couldn't come up with the interception. And somebody came after me and they're like, well, he was hit by TJ Edwards, but keep going with your narrative or whatever. Like, you're just trying to push a narrative. And I'm like, buddy, this is the one of the ones I actually did respond to. And I just said, buddy, I'm watching what I'm watching. If I'm pushing a narrative, trust me, you'll know. Like, it ain't that serious. And you just move on. So, yeah, that's just the biggest thing, man. Just keep firing. Yep. Whatever you tweeted out, it's in the past. And just focus on what's happening now. And you'll have a much better tweet or, like, something different that'll rile up people, good or bad. And you just keep moving on. It's Twitter. Like nothing, even like some of the worst takes that live on forever and ever. And trust me, I know about that stuff. You still just move on. It's
absolutely it's no big deal. Let's good friend of the pod, Tony, how are you? How's the Irish Bears network treating you, my friend? Bears fans don't take things out of context, do they? I told the guys, I promise this will be just very quickly, just cause I have to say it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Just real quick. There's a backup quarterback. There's a backup quarterback that plays for another football team, and he's not playing for the Chicago Bears, and he's not coming back. So let's stop talking about him. That's right. I'm talking about Mitch Trubisky, who threw a 69-yard touchdown. Nice. 69-yard touchdown pass. Also, another former Chicago Bears quarterback that's not coming back. It's time to stop talking about him.
Hey, fun fact, Mitch Trubisky not only threw more touchdowns than Caleb Williams this week, but he scored more points single-handedly than the Bears this week. So that's fun.
So we got that going for us, which is not nice at all. I got to say this. I'm happy for Mitch. He's playing for a really good football team, a really good organization. He's a backup quarterback where he belongs. I don't think – did Mitch ever say anything negative in any way, shape, or form? Like, he wasn't good enough to be a starting quarterback. Like, that's it. I got no ill will against Mitch. And I also don't think the Mitch cult was half as bad as another Chicago Bears quarterback, that former quarterback that isn't here. Were they?
I think you guys were in on that cycle more than I was, because I was not on Twitter at that time. I had asked you guys on the thread if the Mitch cult was greater than or equal to the Justin Fields cult. Brendan, what would you say is, which has been worse?
That is a good question. It may be recency bias. I think the Justin Fields cult or just fandom has been worse, but I mean, you got to remember, like, there was a term for the Trubisky fans. It was the Trubisky truthers. And 2020 was a big deal when Nick Foles comes in, they have the quarterback competition. There was definitely a loud minority at the very least who were screaming that Mitch Trubisky got done wrong. And he did have more success than Justin Fields overall. So, I mean, they kind of had a little bit of a ground to stand on. I remember there were guys and people that were pissed that the Bears never even thanked him after he left and signed with the Bills the first time. So it was big. I actually did this was a few years ago. You'd have to find it, but I did do a sit down with Sylvie to just talk about who, like, the polarizing quarterbacks that the Bears had. And at the time it was Cutler and Trubisky. And my big question to him was, who was more polarizing? And he did wind up and say it was Cutler, because he said, he's like, you can put like 100 Chicago fans in a bar and half of them will say Jay Cutler was a good quarterback. Half of them will say Jay Cutler wasn't a good quarterback. We could probably do that even on this podcast, knowing the two of you, how you guys feel. But Mitch definitely was up there, and the calls that sports radio would get, they were pretty aggressive about Mitch. So, but Fields was, I think, was still worse.
Just as a quick, let's shift it. Let's stop talking about former Bears quarterbacks, if it's okay with you boys. We got a couple people we got to say hi to that are in the chat already. Some really phenomenal people. Jorge Gagiola. Jorge, how are you? Your friends from the BDCP, the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Smile and wink. Tony Daly, we said hi to. Brandon B, how are you, buddy? Michael Gus. Haven't seen Michael Gus in a long, long time. I always look forward to Michael Gus's rants on Twitter, which is why I'm still on that godforsaken website or app, whatever you call it. TJ Brooks, he's here. Man, there's some wonderful people in the chat. Please throw in some comments today during this conversation. I know that we're really looking forward to it. Boys, if it is okay, before we get too far into the weeds, we start talking, and let's just talk very briefly about this terrible, terrible football game. After we talk about this terrible, terrible football game, we got a lot of other stuff. I got some good true false for you guys, some big picture stuff. What's up next sort of stuff. Anything that you guys want to get to before we thank some wonderful people?
No, let's thank them.
Let me tell you about our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. All right, Chicagoland investors and business owners, do you need a commercial real estate expert? Then you got to talk to our guy, Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. He's got generations of experience. He specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. For all of your commercial real estate needs, you got to trust our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Visit jeffcre.com or give him a call or a text at 630-254-4734. Please, if you talk to Jeff, whether it be a commercial real estate question or you just have any real estate questions whatsoever, you talk to Jeff, let him know that you spoke with the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast.
Let's get a haircut. Ryan, you and I are looking shaggy. Sheridan's Barbershop, a cornerstone of the Wheaton community since 1954, is where old school charm meets modern style. Located in the heart of historic downtown Wheaton, they've got six master barbers ready to keep you looking sharp. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, so it's easy to fit a fresh cut into your schedule with appointments available online or by phone. You can head to sheridansbarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137 and book your appointment today. And if you're not close to Wheaton, you can always head over to Naperville. In downtown Naperville, Hensel's Barbershop has been a local favorite since 1966. I don't think the Bears have won any Super Bowl. Oh, they won one Super Bowl since 1966. That's great. They offer the same unbeatable service with a crew of six skilled barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. They've got you covered with walk-ins and appointments alike. Whether you need a quick cleanup or a full transformation, see also the McCaskey family. Hensel's has you covered. Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershop, where traditional meets modern.
I want to go right to this comment because I think this is so perfect. There's nothing to say about that Bears game. I was having my eyes gouged out in person at the Bulls-Hawks game and watching the Bears on my phone. Why? There's just – Chicago sports are bad. So bad, though – I have been a true, like, real diehard Bears follower since 2001, and I don't know that I've ever seen a game this terrible. I don't know if I've ever wanted the end of a season the way that I want it this season. I remember, Brendan, and you talked about this, 2016, the Bears were bad, like really, 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 really bad, and it was who is the Barkley? Matt Barkley was the backup quarterback starting one of the last games of the season or whatever. And I was like, I want to see what this kid can do. I'm like kind of excited about this, whatever. And like, I just remember like, yeah, it's a bad season, but we're rolling on to the next thing. Like I hate this season, everything about this season way more than I hate all of that. So just like, just whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is similar to 16. It's similar to 17 because even 17, like there was still the Mitchell Trubisky factor where there was some flashes there. At least they won a game or two. It just feels like, yeah, like the last few seasons, except for last year was kind of fun, but like 2021, 2022 is just a slog and you're feeling depleted, I guess. Like you just had too much, you've taken too many bullets and you just need a rest after watching so many football and so much bad football too. I mean, this was easily the worst game of the season. I'm trying to think the worst game since, but it was up there. I mean, no scoring in the second half. Obviously no touchdowns. It just sloppy all the way around it. And the funny thing was that, guys, it was a 3-point game, and never did I ever think that the Bears could actually win it. I just sort of was resigned to the fact that, well, somehow this is going to end in a loss. I don't know how, but this is going to be like a 6-3 or maybe 9-3 game. And sure enough, like, nobody could score at the very end. The timeout situation was abysmal. The sacks were just awful. The Seahawks started just, you know, dialing up and launching themselves at Caleb. It was hard to watch. Like, there were moments after the sacks, I just had to like look away and just, I don't know, regroup and just kind of gather myself, because it was brutal. I don't know about you guys.
Caleb was bad. Like, he didn't play particularly well. He had a couple really good throws. His offensive line was, I don't have any other words for bad. It was laughable. Like, how unbelievably atrocious they were. The play calling was bad. His clock management. I know you want to talk about Thomas Brown, and I'm ready to do it. That dude, I thought, okay, you know what? Maybe this is a guy that, you know, could run an, I don't even know if he's that. I mean, it was Eberflus bad level of running this thing. Like, there was nothing good about this game. Like, literally nothing.
So for Thomas Brown, I do want to give him just a little bit of slack here, because he came into the season as the passing game coordinator. Like, just think about that for a second. Passing game coordinator in September, and then a few months later, he is the interim head coach. A lot on his plate. I know he was sort of groomed to be one of these up-and-coming potential head coaches, maybe in the next 5 years or something. But when he took over as offensive coordinator, things got a little bit better, but I think we sort of were looking at this with, like, Bears goggles on, because the offense really wasn't that much better. The only things that they did were he simplified a few things, and he essentially encouraged Caleb to look at his first read more and get him to run. The concept stayed the same. They were still kind of crap. They could barely run the ball under Thomas Brown as well. So things were marginally better, but like, it wasn't exactly like, hey, we fixed the problem here. And then he gets to become the actual head coach. And this is where I'm watching the game on Thursday, and I just start seeing the mismanagement of timeouts. And it is the exact same situation that we saw with Matt Eberflus. He did it at the end of the first half when he could have called a timeout near the end of the second quarter to give the Bears another shot, more time at least to work with, to get down the field to potentially get a field goal. He didn't do that. And then the final sequence where he called a timeout when they were late getting to the line, some of the play calls were bad. And then afterwards, he's talking about just like, how do you cover zero when they're, you know, bringing everybody to the quarterback? He's like, well, you could just do a quarterback run. That's the only option. No, it's definitely not. So now the guy who everybody sort of perceived as this master of words at the press conference, and listen to how great he talks. It's so different than everybody else. No, it's not. Okay. Everybody gets into this situation where they start to do the word salad thing. Things don't make sense. We have to stop just latching onto these guys in the press conference, their very first press conferences, mind you, and saying, oh my gosh, he's so different. He's so much better. He's so well-spoken compared to Shane Waldron and Matt Eberflus and Matt Nagy and blah, 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 blah. Eventually, everybody sounds the same. So this is just not, again, this is a little bit of a criticism for Thomas Brown. He should have never been in this position either way. He wasn't ready. But this is also to Bears fans too. When the Bears eventually hire a head coach, and God, I hope it's Ben Johnson or Joe Brady or one of these young offensive minds, don't let them off the hook in the press conference. Don't just automatically, you know, buy everything they're selling that they're telling you in the initial press conference. Don't just say, this is so much better. We don't know if it's so much better. I mean, shoot, we said the same thing about Matt Eberflus from Matt Nagy, and it got exponentially worse. Make them earn it. Make them say, okay, like, I hear what you're saying. You're saying all the right things, but I don't buy any of it until you actually prove it on the field in a regular season game. Then I will take stock in what you are saying, because right now it doesn't mean anything to me. So that's a PSA to Bears fans. And it's also just, you know, reminding ourselves that Thomas Brown was a passing game coordinator for a reason. He wasn't even an offensive coordinator for a reason. And clearly we're seeing why. And then the last thing I'll say, just, you know, just for funsies, maybe the Bears headset is the Orb of Confusion from SpongeBob. I don't know if you guys seen that show because you're a little bit older than me, but there's an episode where they're fighting Man Ray, Patrick, and SpongeBob, and they have this diabolical weapon, and they say, okay, you know, you haven't stopped us yet. We have the Orb of Confusion. They turn it on, and it just, you know, puts these guys to sleep, basically. Anytime you're around it, you're just confused and dazed and out of it. That's the Bears headset. Anybody who wears it just doesn't know how to call a game anymore. Timeouts, game management, plays, whatever. So the Bears headset is the Orb of Confusion. We don't need to do any more research on it because that is my hypothesis.
Undoubtedly. I've got tons of thoughts, but I'm wondering if they'll come up on your true false. I haven't previewed them, Ryan. Do you want my thoughts or do you want to go to true false?
I want to hear Jack. We haven't heard a lot of you so far in this episode. And I love hearing your thoughts and your sultry voice. I mean, both of those things are a winner. Do you want, hey, how about this, buddy? We can talk. I got a what if, I got a head coach and I got a GM. Which one of those do you want to go to first?
Let's go head coach.
I got you, buddy. All right. So for all of you that are hanging out in the chat section, and there's some awesome conversation going on. Again, appreciate all of you for hanging out with us. If you are an audio only listener, please come and check us out on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, or you're hanging out with us on Twitter, whatever, wherever live platform you're watching it. If you miss an episode, something along those lines, and you can justify listening to anything about the Chicago Bears, please check us out wherever you get your podcasts from. All right. So, boys, and everyone in the chats, please, please comment on this one. True or false, the Chicago Bears will hire either Ben Johnson or Mike Vrabel as their next head coach. For this one, let's go Jack Wright, then we will go Brendan Shagrew, and I will finish it up, boys.
Okay, I'm going to say false. It sounds like Ben Johnson's going to go to Jacksonville. If I were him, I would go to Jacksonville as well. I would do everything I could not to go to the Bears organization. As I've said before, you know, as long as the McCaskies own it. As far as Vrabel, also false. There's no way that this particular organization would hire someone like Mike Vrabel. And I guess this kind of spins off into a thought I've had. It was an epiphany I had tonight. I was looking at Kevin O'Connell, and I do apologize in advance because I think what I'm about to say fits into like stupid kind of high school or college cliche cliques and stereotypes. But I was looking at Kevin O'Connell tonight and I was like, that dude's just cool. He's tall, handsome, polished. He's a leader of men. The guys like him. There's no discussion about him changing his hair or his beard or trying to do a better job in the press conferences. I'm going to make a larger point here. You don't hear that about McVay. You don't hear that about Shanahan. You don't hear that kind of like BS ancillary stuff in other organizations. You know why? Because those guys are with it. They're cool. They know football. They allow for like swearing on Hard Knocks. Do you see what I'm saying here, guys? Like, the McCaskies aren't cool. They're not in the cool kids club. They're so outside of it that there's no way in God's green earth that anybody with a swagger or a vibe or a chill or a demeanor that looks like an actual NFL head coach who could be successful will ever be a head coach in this city. And I don't want to be that guy that starts to get kind of muted because I keep saying the same thing about the McCaskies. So I really truly am trying to package it differently here. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, think about Trestman. Think about Flus. Think about these guys. And then compare them to an O'Connell or a McVay or to a Shanahan or to a Dan Campbell or to a Matt LaFleur. Guys, the Bears aren't hiring a coach like that. Because the McCaskies aren't people like that. And if you want to say that it's Poles' decision and we want to go down that road, we can go down that road. But the bottom line is, as I've said before, the same guy sits in that same chairman seat. You know, you think about those awkward, you posted it, Brendan, that awkward Ted Phillips, you know, Virginia is angry conference, you know, Ted Phillips and McCaskey sitting there. Guys, look, I'm sorry, but we aren't in the cool kids club. We don't have a cool owner. They have no sense of this. So both of those guys, like if I was to meet with McCaskey or anybody in this organization, I'd be like, hell's no, I'm freaking out of here. Unless they just look at it because there's only one of, you know, 30 some jobs to get. But I think, as I said before, and then I'll stop because this is a diatribe, I realize, but I think it's starting to become very clearly obvious to the national folks now. You're hearing it in subtle and not so subtle ways that this place is not for anybody who wants to be serious about NFL football and winning championships and sustained success. This is not a place you go if those are the things that you want, because the one thing that hasn't changed is that the same people are in charge, and that is not going to change, and they are not going to sell as much as I love to sell the team chance. And so here we are. So false, neither coach is going to get hired. It's going to be some dude we've never heard of. And even if it is one of those guys, there's not enough context around them for this team to be successful anyway. Because Vrabel's better anywhere but the Bears, and Johnson's better anywhere but the Bears, and Caleb is better anywhere but at the Bears, and Justin Fields is better anywhere but at the Bears. Sam Mustipha is better anywhere but with the Bears. And I'm done. I apologize. That was too long.
No, that was great. And I also, your rant was beautiful. It was fantastic. I loved every, Sam Mustipha, go figure. I just also, this comment from Tony Daly actually had me like I'd like to say true, but the reality is that the Bears will likely hire some unknown CFL mannequin again. Exactly.
Because George will have dinner with him and think he's great. Just like they had dinner with Mitch and thought he was great. And so they didn't go ahead and even look at, you know, the other two quarterbacks who became elite. I mean, right? Like, there's just such a mountain of evidence at this point, fellas, that it's sad. It's really sad.
Man, there's a lot to react to there. First off, happy anniversary to that clip that Jack referenced. Today is the 10-year anniversary of George McCaskey and Ted Phillips. Ted Phillips, also, if you haven't seen the clip, he looks like a cowering child. Like, if you think Ryan Poles looked bad during his Kevin Warren press conference, watch. It's on my Twitter. I should have sent it to you, Ryan, because I it would have been fun to play. But he looks like a cowering child, just like on the table, like looking at George when he's talking about his mom being pissed off because the Bears were too mediocre. And yet we would probably settle for mediocre at this point. So, happy anniversary. Things have never been better. This is tough. The choices you gave me or gave us aren't great, because I'll just say this. I do not think Mike Vrabel is coming to Chicago. I think that he is going to be a better fit and have better opportunities with somebody like the Raiders. That's just kind of the feeling I get. Because I think that Antonio Pierce is going to be gone, even though that they've won two games in a row now. I just think that, you know, with what the Bears could be looking for, I know that Albert Breer's kind of put out the leader of men stuff. And he's kind of been a driving force, I would say, in pushing Mike Vrabel to Chicago. But I just don't think it's going to happen. So that leaves us with Ben Johnson. And I do think that he is absolutely the number one priority. I do think Jacksonville could be a threat. I think that was a very calculated move today, because we have not heard much about Jacksonville in the last few weeks, even though they still have Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke. So this kind of felt like a, hey, we're still here too. We're probably going to make changes. So just keep that in mind, that some of these candidates are going to have some options here, because it's been all Chicago over the last 2 weeks. I mean, Pete Carroll's name was thrown out there. He expressed interest. Ben Johnson, we know about what's been happening there. So I think the wishful thinking in me is going to say true. I think that Kevin Warren will do what it takes to get his guy. I think he's been around now for almost 2 years unofficially. He's seen what this team needs. He knows what this team has on its roster, specifically with Caleb Williams. And he has talked about that money is not going to be an object, or he's going to do what it takes to get his guy. I think Chicago is still an attractive job. I think kind of based on what we've been hearing in the media that guys are still interested in this. I don't think it's a complete smokescreen just to build up interest in other places. This is still a historic franchise. They have resources, they have cap space, and they have a president who is willing to do what it takes. And hopefully, Jack, hopefully the McCaskies are now in the background and they are not at the forefront of these situations like George was in the back of the room listening to the press conference and no way around the stage. I do think that this team has gotten one of those hot shot candidates in the past and somebody who has a little bit of energy and a little bit of charisma. His name was Matt Nagy. Things did not end well with Matt Nagy, but let's not pretend that 2018 and even parts of 2019, he had the locker room vibing. The whole boom thing, he maybe took it to a weird level when they started losing a little bit, but like those guys bought into him quite a bit. Everybody I've talked to has said that locker room was definitely all in on Matt Nagy, and I think we even saw that from the outside. So, yes, they have hired Trestmans, they've hired Foxes and Eberfluses, all very awkward guys. But they've also gotten it right at some times too. I do think that this team is at a crossroads now, and we'll see what happens with Ryan Poles. But speaking just strictly on Kevin Warren, I'm buying into the fact that I think he will do what it takes. And if that means firing Ryan Poles to get his guy to be aligned with a different general manager, then so be it, because he is a cutthroat businessman at the end of the day.
I think the technology might allow me to do this. Give me one second. Is this, Brendan, is this what you wanted?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Are we going to watch the whole thing, or are we just going to just stare at the awkwardness that is McCaskey here?
You can watch it. Again, watching Ted Phillips alone is just hilarious. Like, he looks like a very...
Virginia's bet. He was just so angry on behalf of Virginia. It's so strange. Everything about them is so bleeping strange. So I hope you're right, Brendan. I hope there's still some clout to the job, and I hope that there is some legitimacy to what you said. But I just have to be real honest. Like, I'm done hoping. I am. We have been so bleeping burned by this franchise for so many years in a row that when I see something, I'm not even looking for smoke. I'm looking for actual fire. Like, when there's fire, then I'm going to get excited. But in the meantime, except for Caleb, there's nothing legitimate about this franchise, in my opinion.
I want to bring in some comments because there were some really, really good ones. Chris Foster, Ben only, no defensive previous fired head coach. I totally understand where Chris is coming from. It doesn't matter, says Brandon. Poles has failed this organization. If he's around, we are toast. I'm starting to agree with that more and more and more. Michael Gus, nah, we're getting some obscure special teams coordinator that nobody has heard of. That sounds like a very Bears thing to say. Jorge Gaiola, false. Poles will find a new way to screw things up. Laz, both will go elsewhere because the Bears don't ever get it right. It just kind of keeps going on and on and on from there. Go ahead, Brendan.
I want to respond to this comment by Brandon, that Ben Johnson reminds him of Matt Nagy and then he doesn't like it. I got to disagree with that, because Matt Nagy, while he did primarily come up through like one organization, he was with the Eagles too, but he was an offensive coordinator by name only. He wasn't a play caller. He just kind of hitched himself to Andy Reid and, did what he was told and only called a few games for that one 2017 season. And he did have some success, but Johnson's been doing this now for about three years. He's been there since 22. Top five offenses in 2023 and 2024, top 10 offenses. If you go back to 2022, pretty much in every single category. Now he's called those games in all three of those seasons, and he's had success. And not only that, he's maintained success. I think we've seen many times that some offensive coordinators have really good seasons and then they fall off a cliff for one reason or another. With Ben Johnson, he's maintained it and in some cases exceeded it from 2023 to 2024. So he has a lot more play calling experience. And I think having just kind of, you know, having run the offense just himself under Dan Campbell has given him a lot more autonomy. I think he's a very intense guy from what I've heard too. So I disagree with the fact that he's Matt Nagy 2.0. You would have to find like an offensive coordinator who really is by name only and doesn't have that same experience yet to get that Matt Nagy vibe.
I guess what I'm just curious about, Brendan and Ryan, is and chat, is this just a matter of the Bears like somehow getting lucky and hiring the right guy? Because ultimately the process has never been good. I mean, you've documented, Brendan, like everybody on the national media has processed the way that everything is out of sequence. So are we just supposed to pin our hopes on the outside chance that possibly somewhere along the way that the Bears hire the right guy and all of this aligns?
I mean, you know what I'm going to say about this one. The Bears bring in the right people and they hire the wrong people every single time. Every single time. So, you know, I don't. The only thing I want to just quickly want to say about the whole Ben Johnson thing is, Brendan, I think you said this, or I don't know where it came up. I don't think this is my original thought. Is Jared Goff was a McVay castoff? Yeah, go mm-hmm. away. And he is slinging it. And if that guy can make Jared Goff look this good, I think he could probably do it with just about anybody. The only other person that I think might be a better quarterback whisperer right now is Kevin O'Connell. I mean, just thinking what he has done is just absolutely incredible. So, yeah, I think this one's false. I think they won't bring in one of these coaches. I think they're going to try to sell us. They'll seem very excited about someone else that nobody else really wanted. They'll throw us a curveball. Maybe they will throw some money at Ben Johnson, but it won't be enough for him to acquiesce. And then he'll end up going to Jacksonville because it's a more attractive offer or something along those lines. I agree with you. I think the McCaskies have no semblance of what they're doing, and they won't like Vrabel being too gruff around the edges, whether it be swearing or whatever. I have no idea, but I don't have any faith in this organization whatsoever. None. Go to a different one?
No, I'm just going to listen. Sure. I'm going to listen to you though, Ryan, because I feel like over the years, you've been more right about this stuff than I have, like without question. Like I'm just over here like, do. I hope they're going to be good. And I think they've done the right thing now and they're rebuilding it correctly. And then I just get punched in the face every freaking time. So I think what you just said is probably accurate, that they will probably, I really like what you just said about how they will go after Johnson with some amount of money, but they are not going to push all their chips in for Ben Johnson. They just will not. They will get outbid by somebody. Even if Ben Johnson is interested, there's just no way. There's no way.
Jack, that was just such a nice compliment. Thank you, dude. I appreciate you. No, I mean, this whole thing, like Jack and I were like, at some point we should start a podcast. We're talking like, this is like 8 or 9 years ago. And it was because we would argue about Jay Cutler and all these other things. And almost, not always, but a lot of times we'd be like, Ryan, did you play in college? Be like, no, Jack, I didn't play football in college. I don't, you know.
Oh, you used you, that one.
Oh, but he's right. X's and O's. X's and O's. X's and O's, there is no doubt in my mind. Jack can run circles around me. If I want to understand a concept, and there's been several times where we're sitting in the office and I'll be like, hey, Diggle, I want to show you this. And he'll write it out. I'll be like, oh my God, that makes so much sense, you know? And so, yeah, but also I've watched enough bad football to know enough about bad organizations. Let's do another true false. What do you say, guys? Okay. This is one that I've been really thinking about, and I'm genuinely very curious because specifically for these two candidates, Liam Cohen and Cliff Kingsbury were both thought about as potential hires for the Bears offensive coordinator position. So now I'm curious, true or false, hiring Liam Cohen or Cliff Kingsbury wouldn't have brought more than one or two wins to this Chicago Bears team. So maybe we're talking about a team that has 6 wins at most. How do you guys feel about this one? So same thing. Let's go Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up.
Okay, so I'm going to say that though the both of those OCs would not have brought more than one or two wins to this Bears team. And that's going to be my second primary thought of this evening. Hopefully I'll have more, but who knows? I've been heavily concussed throughout my life. But the thing that I – just the epiphany, the other epiphany I've had by watching all these games in the past couple of days is – and it's not rocket scientists. If Michael Gus is still here, he's going to, you know, beat the drum louder than I ever have. It's like it's the offensive line. And you beat that drum too, RD. I mean, I use three examples, and people are going to push back on the Burrow example. But if you watch Kyler Murray, Caleb Williams, and Joe Burrows play their football games this past week, what you saw was terrible offensive lines. And you saw pressures, and you saw sacks, and you saw quarterback hits, and you saw scrambling and running for your life. And you saw what amounts to when you have a poor offensive line, it disrupts the entire process of the offense. And you can't get around that. You saw in Philadelphia, the fourth string quarterback throw a touchdown today because the offensive line is so potent. You saw Allen in Buffalo just stand back there and sling it all day long. So, I mean, it takes a confluence of people to get an offense right. But bottom line is, if you don't have an offensive line, you can't run an offense. We've talked about this before. I don't care what assets you have. I don't care what skill players you have out on the edge. I don't care who the running back is or the quarterback is. And this is a side diatribe too that I think we'll maybe get into later. But these like folks that want to try to criticize Caleb for like his play this year, dude, you got to be kidding me. That guy has exceeded every expectation that I've had given the circumstances that he's been in. Joe Burrow just happens to be a Hall of Fame level quarterback, just happens to be an elite level quarterback who played elite level football, even though his offensive line sucks. You want that out of Caleb with a second head coach? And I don't even know a second or third offensive coordinator. So these two offensive coordinators, while they're just absolutely raking where they currently are, I mean, perhaps I would give it a moment to say that it would have been better than Shane trying to install some sort of ridiculously complex offense for Caleb in his first year. Maybe one of those two dudes would have been smarter than that, but it doesn't change the offensive line. Doesn't change the fact that we egregiously, egregiously mishandled the offensive line. And if you don't have an offensive line, you don't have an offense and you don't have productivity. And that is the absolute brass tacks of the situation.
All right. So you are right in that sense. I do think the offensive line has played a big factor. However, don't you think that maybe if the Bears had a different offensive coordinator, they would have prioritized it a little bit more? I mean, look at what the Buccaneers did. I don't have their free agent list in front of me, but I do know that they spent a first round pick on an offensive lineman who I believe is their center, Graham Barton. He did win the starting job. So, you know, clearly investing the line. I wonder how much Liam Cohen was involved with that. The Commanders also drafted an offensive lineman, I think, in the middle rounds, and he started with varying degrees of success. You know, I don't have the list in front of me, but I do think that, it's sort of like a butterfly effect. If Cliff Kingsbury or Liam Cohen came here, they probably would have prioritized the line differently. They probably would have said, hey, I've seen how this is operated. We need to upgrade in the interior. We need to upgrade at center. Maybe not somebody like Coleman Shelton, who, yes, he had experience with Shane Waldron, also with Liam Cohen. That could have been something. But I just think that maybe that would have been prioritized a little bit differently. Maybe Karan Amagaje isn't the pick. Maybe a project or something like that. Maybe they get somebody who is day one ready with that third round pick. We don't know. But, you know, speaking on that sense, I just maybe things are a little bit different. But also, like, you look at the other free agent acquisitions that were brought in. The Bears signed Gerald Everett to a 2-year deal worth, like, I think it was like $14 million for those two tight end sets under Shane Waldron. Gerald Everett has caught 8 passes all freaking year. He's not utilized. So you spent resources on a guy that isn't even a factor on your offense because your offensive coordinator wanted him. If Liam Cohen was here, I think that would have been different. They would have prioritized a different area, or they would have said, hey, let's not get the aging tight end to complement Cole Kmet there. At the same time, I just think that with some of the situations, some of the key factors that were called earlier in games, I just think it would have been a little bit different. And it's really hard to go back to the, like, well, this play sucked, so automatically it's going to be better versus, hey, Waldron called a good play here and it was executed correctly. Who knows what happens if somebody else is in that position? We just don't know that. But there was a lot more bad than good early on with Waldron. I mean, think about the Colts game, the rush lefts on the goal line, the Doug Kramer play. Who knows if Doug Kramer's a freaking factor in any single game as the fullback under another offensive coordinator. Kari Blasa game is still probably with the Bears in some sort of capacity. Now he's on the Eagles, you know, going to the playoffs. So it, just things like that. It's a weird butterfly effect. I think that both guys have shown the ability to tailor the offenses much better for their respective quarterbacks. I mean, Baker Mayfield had 5 touchdowns today. I know the Commanders are playing right now. I don't have the score in front of me, but we know what Jane Daniels has done. And look, both of them would have been here the whole time. Like, I don't think either one's getting fired midway through the season. But I will say so this is all to say that I do think the Bears probably win at least 3 more games. But that also keeps Matt Eberflus's job. And so who knows how that all winds up and shakes out at the end of the year. If this is another, like, I don't know, 8-9 season that they miss the playoffs and you have questions around your head coach. But I do think both guys easily would have been a bigger upgrade.
Brendan, I love where you're at and prioritizing different things. You know, it makes a lot. Gerald Everett, what would you say you do here? You just nothing. That dude's terrible. Useless, bad at blocking, hasn't really caught much, just bad. And you know, maybe Liam Cohen does that, but I still can't see the mass dysfunction that is this organization, this team winning more than 6 games this season. Maybe he gets 2 more out of them. But I just don't see it. It would be nice, you know, to have had someone though, that could have been a consistent voice for your rookie quarterback. Instead, this dude is on his third offensive coordinator, you know, and I just, when you look at the stats, you go, okay, 19 to what, it's now 6 interceptions. You get a bad game on Thursday night, bad game, right? But just no consistency whatsoever. I mean, I just like, and to go to the podium every single week, like human being to human being, like that has to weigh on you to be like, 10th loss in a row. What are you going to do now? And he's not thrown anybody under the bus. He's not done anything negative in that regard. And so just, you know, I just sincerely hope that they get it right, whoever it is offensively, that they can be someone to mentor Caleb and work on the, you know, the still sailing balls, you know, dropping his eyes and taking sacks when he doesn't need to, you know, some of those flaws in his games and accentuate some of those unbelievably good throws. That shift to the left, which should have been a touchdown except for the holding call, like that's special, man. You know what I mean? Like, I think some of the throws that we've seen have been good. That one is just like, there's not a lot of dudes in the NFL that can make that crossbody throw the way that he did. And so, yeah, you know, I think it would have been nice to have Liam Cohen or Cliff King. Why can't I say Cliff's name? Cliff Kingsbury here to be one voice in that dude's ear this entire time, but that didn't happen. And I just whatever he did is just, I think it's just incredible how that dude is survived this season.
And keep in mind with both guys, I think people forget that Liam Cohen has experience with college quarterbacks. Like, that was one of the draws that were coming in when we were talking this time last year, or, you know, a few weeks after, I guess, when they were interviewing candidates. Liam Cohen kind of put Will Levis on the map. So he had that experience with rookie quarterbacks. And then, of course, Cliff Kingsbury, we know the experience he had with Caleb Williams, Kyler Murray, and now Jane Daniels. So both guys, like, you know, they have worked with rookie quarterbacks. Shane Waldron, while I was a big believer that he could develop his system and work his system with any type of quarterback, I was wrong in thinking that he could work with a rookie, because clearly whatever he was putting out there, he was assuming that Caleb knew things, and it kind of just put him behind the eight ball. He wasn't able to catch up. So I think both guys, as an example, Ryan, I think it's good that you brought them up, because both of them have that college experience that I think would have been a big help.
Should we go to my last true false, boys? Oh, Jack, please.
And he's muted.
Jack, you're muted.
I'm not going to say it.
Hi. So I mean, I think from the beginning when it came to Justin, this group was pretty balanced. When it came to criticism of him, I think we wanted him to be the one, but when he didn't play very well, we were very honest about that. So I'm trying to be mindful of the fact that maybe I think Caleb's better than he is, and that somehow my perspective on him is, I don't know, is biased in a way that makes me think he's better than he is. But so I've tried to be mindful of that. But I just think to myself, like, do you think Bo Nix would be like nearly as good as he is without Sean Payton? And like the structure and stability that it goes along with Sean Payton's structure and stability and experience over time, including Super Bowls. I mean, there's no way Bo Nix is as good as he is this year without that constant. And so I just, like, even Ryan, I would push back on you a little bit. Like, Caleb played bad. I mean, how do you play well when you snap the ball, you can't even take your drop, and there are three defenders in your face? Like, I just don't understand. Like, we try to, like, evaluate Bears players, I think, probably based on what we see across the league. And I just, that's just not fair. It's not, whether it's Drake May or Bo Nix or Jaden Daniels. Pretty much every place else is a better situation. Like, we all bought into the fool's gold that Caleb Williams was drafted in the best situation, quote unquote, in the NFL. And it's not. It's not turned out that way, and there's no denying that. I am equally to blame for believing that that was the case, but it is in fact one of the worst situations in the NFL.
Here's the thing: a couple of those sacks were on Caleb. Like, I think that part of it. Now, some of those absolutely, like, not his fault at all. I talked about it, right? This offensive line was absolutely truly abysmal, but the you know, there were a few times where it's like, Caleb, he's playing hero ball, which I think we've talked about before. He's trying so hard to do so much, that he's making bad decisions. He's holding the ball too long, right? And the one that I really want to know is where Rome was open over the middle and Caleb missed him. And they were clearly arguing about something, but like week 17, bro, like you should be on the same page with your receiver. And so the question becomes then, is it Caleb reading it wrong or just straight up missing Rome, or did Rome run the wrong route? Because I think that says a lot about, you know, what's going on. Jack, I think Caleb has done an incredible job in one of the, like, historically worst situations of any, you know, of any quarterback, right? Especially a first round pick, first overall pick. But, like, man, I don't know. I just, he didn't play particularly well. And I think that's okay. When Justin Fields didn't play well, right, which was a lot. We were critical of him not playing well. I think it's okay to say a player can play better and also simultaneously say that he's done a phenomenal job in spite of a terrible dumpster fires of a situation.
Agreed.
I don't know. I got nothing.
All right.
I mean,
cool. All right. Here we go, boys. You ready for this? All right. True, false. Ryan Poles will be fired at the end of this season. Let's go, Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up.
I'm going to say false. And at the risk of falling into a trap I've fallen into before, I'd really like to hear you guys explain to me fully why all of a sudden he just absolutely sucks. I don't fully understand it. I'm aware of the ways in which he has made mistakes, but I still don't think there's been anybody in my lifetime who has approached that position in a way that specifically changed the cap, changed our draft capital, and changed free agency. Now, that's a low bar for the Bears, no doubt. It's a very low bar to try to, like, overcome. But I think a lot of this anger hinges on the belief that folks think that Flus was his hire fully and that retaining Flus was his decision fully. And I would be interested, again, if either of you have any specific evidence to prove that that is without question fact, then I will completely recant. But I'm otherwise, I'm not budging off the fact that I think that, you know, again, there's a history that shows that that type of decision is made higher up than polls, that loyalty, you know, the fact that we've never hired or fired a head coach until now during the season, like that was here long before polls was ever around. So I just said, I have a hard time believing that, you know, that all of a sudden he's just shit. I agree with Ryan about the offensive line. I do think he did an awful job in that regard, but yeah, I guess I would say false, and I would go back to that loyalty. And I guess I would go back to the ways in which he has been successful. I also think that, as I've said before, he's a guy operating while he constantly looks over his shoulder to an owner who meddles and has no idea how to run a franchise.
Well, okay, I will say false, even though I think it should happen, because I just feel like that the Bears always do this. Even though I said I have faith that Kevin Warren's going to do what it takes, I feel like what he's going to end up doing is he's going to extend Ryan Poles to align the head coach with the general manager. And you could definitely make an argument that Poles isn't worth that. The reason that everybody's coming for him now, Jack, is because there's no one else to blame now. Like, Matt Eberflus is gone. Like, the whole sort of, hey, this team is much better than what they're actually producing and what the win-loss record says. Now that Flus is gone and the players, like, things have gotten worse, that falls at the feet of Ryan Poles, and it shows that your roster isn't as good as we all thought it was or as much as he thought it was. Some of the processes also are worth going after a little bit. I mean, the Chase Claypool trade, trading a second round pick for a guy like that, horrible process, and you were hoping that the result was going to make up for that. It obviously didn't. Same thing for the Montez Sweat trade. I mean, like, the trade itself was, like, it was mixed, and Montez Sweat produced last year, and now you have him as an anchor for the next few years. He hasn't performed up to his contract in 2024, but it was still not a great process because you're giving up a second round pick just to sign a guy to a lot of money. Meanwhile, Minnesota's getting guys like Jonathan Grenard and then Andrew Van Ginkel. They're majorly outperforming what Montez Sweat has done, and they were able to keep a draft pick out of it. So things like that is, those are definitely marks against Ryan Poles. I talked about, like, you know, what he's done with Nate Davis and some of his bigger free agent signings. Tremaine Edmonds, the largest free agent deal that he signed, not great, you know, very average at best. So you just kind of, like, look at all those things, and now you start to get a list of, like, well, what have you done positively? What's the big thing that you can hang on? The trade with Carolina is kind of his big carrot at this point. It still was a good trade. The Bears are still winning it, I'd say, by a sizable margin, even though Bryce Young looks better over the last few months or so. But if Caleb pans out, then it's all, like, that is the biggest thing, and that's the biggest win, and that's what he needs to sell himself on. I don't know. I just have this weird feeling that Kevin Warren really does like Ryan Poles, and he's very, you know, just sort of buddy-buddy with him. They shared, like, a big hug before the game. He made it clear during the press conference that, like, he is the GM. He's going to be involved and leading the search for the head coach. A report came out from Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero this weekend that that's still the case. Like, nothing else has changed there. I just would be surprised if you know, that actually changed in the next week or so. Now, if somebody like Ben Johnson says, I do want my own guy, I want somebody like Ray Agnew to come in, who I've worked with for a number of years, then maybe things change. But for now, I don't know. I just got a funny feeling that he's going to be sticking around and Bears fans are going to be pissed.
The same organization that let their head coach give a press conference and then fired him an hour or two later. Like, I don't buy it. I don't buy any of that buddy-buddy stuff. Yeah, he's gone. I think Ryan Poles is gone. And so, Jack, I totally understand what you're saying. But all of these moves that we thought were good because they were masked somehow by just players playing particularly well or what, I don't know. Like, it's it's been bad. I mean, really, truly bad. And so, I mean, there's a lot of really stuff. There's a lot of stuff that's out there that, I mean, which we've been pounding the table for a long time. And I think I was that guy that said that this offensive line ain't going to cut it. And to him to say that it's one of the deepest rosters or one of the most talented rosters, it wasn't. And I think that really came to fruition when Flus was fired. I think as Brennan said, right, there's nobody else left to blame. But players that talked so much about how as soon as we get rid of Flus, we're going to be great, they sucked. They sucked. Now, Kyler Gordon, right? Like that's a phenomenal football player that they got. Jaquan Brisker, like when he's healthy, he's pretty darn good. But after that, it's pretty slim pickings, man. Do you know what I mean? Like, Darnell Wright he's good. I don't think he's the best right tackle in the entire league. I don't think he's bad. You know what I mean? Like he's decent. I'm not saying
re-signing Jalen Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, but like re-signing, like, come on. I mean, that was a pace pick. He developed, like, you couldn't let him leave. They almost traded him. Like they were looking to trade him.
Yeah.
Jalen Johnson also kind of regressed this year a little bit too, by the way.
He did. Tyreek Stevenson. I mean, I don't know if he's still just feeling the repercussions of the fail Mary. I don't know, man, but he yeah. just, he's nosedived just into badness. Just like yeah. truly,
Zach
truly
Pickens.
Bad.
Zach Pickens was a healthy scratch. He's the third round pick.
A third round pick. Yeah. And so Jack, I think it's tough because, and I think you've said this so many times, is that we watch these games with Bears colored glasses on. And so we think, oh, that these players are better than what we think that they are to some extent. I think with this rookie class, it's too early to tell with just about any of these players whatsoever. And so, yeah, when let's take the North and never give it back. That is just, that's aged like bad milk in my daughter's car seat. Right. Which let me tell you, it stinks. Ugh. It stinks. Bad. We had to take it out into the yard when it was 45 degrees out and spray it down because it stunk so bad. And that's kind of what's going on with this whole situation. I think it stinks even more so because he seems like a good person and I think he's trying really hard, but also like the doubling down on Nate Davis, like when he was warned apparently by several coaches from Tennessee to say, stay away from this guy. Like, he's done a couple good things. Like, you can't say he's been all bad, but it's been more bad than it has been good.
Yeah, I think taking the punter in the fourth round has not been proven to be a good choice at all. I think Bucky Irving was available. But again, I mean, I know a lot of that is a crapshoot at that particular point. How about Swift, plus or minus? Jervon Dexter.
Ryan, you're a big Swift guy.
But he, you know what? The hard part is I think I was a big Swift guy when he was putting up those big gaudy numbers because he's a good home run hitter. He's a good outside stretch guy. But he's not a complete running back. And we think that's been proven over the last couple of weeks. Like Seattle was fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot. But and I will say this, I was actually a little bit surprised. The defense bounced back in a much better way than I anticipated. They only gave up 6 points. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially in the run, you know, in the first drive, you're like, oh my God, they're going to run for 800 yards in this game. And then they didn't, you know what I mean? And so, but I think their defense played their asses off and the Chicago Bears underperformed. You know what I mean? But DeAndre Swift, he's had moments of really good. He seems to me, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, guys, he would be a phenomenal complimentary back. If you had somebody else, you know, whether maybe let's say Roshan Johnson was like a stud, like he's your first and second down running back, right? Which that's not the case. But let's say he was, and now you have Swift to hit him on the outside, man, then you have a phenomenal 1-2 punch. But yeah, no, it just he has trailed off in a way that I think I initially just said, oh, Minnesota's defense is so good. And now I'm starting to think, well, maybe he's just not the complete back that I thought that he was at the beginning of the season. So,
yeah, he's fine. He's kind of like just one of those, like, he just bounces a lot. He bounces to the wrong hole. He takes a lot of contact. He just, you know, every once in a while when you do get him to just run straight and narrow and hit the first read, or, you know, first hole, you know, as soon as he gets the ball, like good things can happen. But like, again, you got to look at everything in context. Like, this was a very rich free agency for running backs. Saquon Barkley, who just went over 2,000 yards this year. Derrick Henry, who's right behind him with the Ravens. Josh Jacobs looks really good with the Packers. Tony Pollard, who wasn't as good. But like, out of all of those guys, Poles immediately went to DeAndre Swift. Like, again, another thing where it's like, well, he's fine, but when you look at what else he could have had, like, not as good.
The only thing I'm going to say is the New York Giants. Oh, my God. Ah, we're not going to go above this number. Saquon's not that – oh, my God.
And now he can break the record against them next week. It's poetic. It's beautiful.
And only if he really wants to, right? I mean, their playoff seed is, for the most part, locked in, right? I mean, did they get anything by – I haven't been paying attention because my team is a dumpster fire, so I just haven't been paying attention to playoff scenarios, you know?
Yeah, I can't – off the top of my head, I can't remember.
That point that you just made is really interesting to me, Brendan. I mean, don't you think in some levels like that point that you just made is like to the larger value of the organization? I mean, it makes me think again, I know – I apologize, White Sox fan, but like when Jerry Reinsdorf laughed about whether or not, hey, are you guys going after Shohei Ohtani? And he laughed. And I think to myself, you know, where the Dodgers or the Mets or, you know, like right now the Diamondbacks, even the Diamondbacks in baseball, like these dudes are movers and shakers and they're willing to spend and they are willing to get stars and take risks. And what, you know what, maybe Malik Nabers just doesn't work out. Or maybe he's the best freaking receiver in the league next year. I mean, that's not our Bears. You know, I think your point was so excellent there. I don't know if that's the point you meant to make or not, Brendan, but yeah, were we in the Jacobs, you know, discussion? Were we in the Saquon discussion? No.
Well, I think
are we in the Harbaugh discussion? No. Are we in, do you know what? We're never in those discussions, right?
Well, I think they were in the Saquon discussions. Like there was a lot of smoke there. And I think they were kind of in that ballpark. But I mean, to your point, yes, Saquon's making like over, I think 12 or 13 million per year. Swift is making 8. You know who else is making 8 million a year though? Derrick Henry. Kind of better, kind of a lot better than DeAndre Swift right now. I know he's a little bit older, but still. So like, yeah, they could have spent maybe $4 million a year more. Also, they could have had a little more money to use if they didn't sign Gerald Everett to a 2-year contract, like things like that. I mean, I think that's the problem. I think, Ryan, to your point, they're involved in these conversations. They're close, but then they do end up going with the wrong guy. So, you know, I can say again, you're right about those issues because they just keep, you know, manifesting, whether it's coaches or players.
It's Ryan's night.
Of all the things that have been said about me this week, I just need you guys to understand how much I appreciate both of you so much. It's so nice being able to hear these just wonderful things. So thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Those are my only true falses that I have for all of you guys. Is there any questions that you want to ask? If any of you that are hanging out in the comment section that want to ask some questions, there's some really smart people that are hanging out in the comment section that know football. So it would be great. If you have any questions, boys, anything you want to ask?
I guess one of the things I was just curious about as I've been listening to you both is and like just kind of talk about polls and dissect the ways in which that he failed. Like, where would you put the majority of the responsibility for this failure this year? Where does it go? Who's it on? Like, where, if you go back and you could do it all over again from the draft or Flus or Poles or DJ Moore, I don't know. Like, if you were to go back and make it right, where would you start to make it right? Brendan
and Matt Eberflus. Oh yeah, no, I'm just gonna go. Screw it.
Yeah.
Firing Matt Eberflus at the end of last season. I mean, it was the very clear path to getting things right. You saw, like, literally, you saw some of the coaches that were available. Ben Johnson reportedly wanted to come to Chicago. Like, you know, you're drafting a quarterback number one overall, and you kind of aren't really sure about what Matt Eberflus is doing. Just get the guys on the same freaking timeline, and then also, if you're Ryan Poles, you buy yourself more time too, because then you can say, well, I've got this rookie quarterback, I got this new head coach, let's give it a few years maybe to sort of marinate and, you know, let them develop together. That was clearly, that was always the right path. We sat here like a year ago to the day talking about it. So like, you know, a lot of things could have changed then. I mean, who knows who could have hired who after that. I still think some of the free agents, or, you know, even going after somebody like Roma Dunze would have been the play. But I think a lot could have changed, and, you know, a culture reset was needed. And it was a viable path. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, shoot, like, yeah, there you go. Not hiring Harbaugh. People are mad at me for still talking about this, that like, well, the Bears could have hired Harbaugh, and they're like, when are you going to let it go? I don't know if I'm ever going to let it go, because I wanted him in 2022 when you guys, maybe not Jack, but definitely Dangle and Sheldon were like, no, I don't want Jim Harbaugh. I wanted him in 2024 when he was again coming back into the league. And look what he's done with the Chargers. I think he's the first head coach to lead two teams who had losing records to the playoffs in their first year. Dangle, go ahead.
I have always been a big Jim Harbaugh fan, and I've always been a big fan of potentially bringing him here to the Chicago Bears. I love you, but you were wrong in this. It was definitely okay. All on the Harbaugh train.
Okay, my mistake. I apologize. But Sheldon, I know there were people who were like,
Sheldon did not want that guy here.
And again, nope. Think about like, what
he's
is that
here
about
to defend people? Himself.
People are saying that there's no way that he would have ever come to the Bears in the first place. And maybe that's the truth. But like, I mean, think about that in terms of, again, the fatal flaws of this organization. There's a former Bear. He was a Bears quarterback. I saw him up in Platteville. I still remember seeing his goofy face to this day. I was like, that dude's goofy. He's so goofy. But holy crap, does he obviously change a culture? So like, what is, again, like, what's that about? Is he too big a persona? Is whatever happened at Michigan too big for the McCaskies? Like, what are we scared of with Jim Harbaugh?
Just, you know, really quick, Brendan, before you say anything, just the way that he took San Francisco and made them the San Francisco 49ers. And yeah, sure, then they had a couple like little bad coaching errors in there. And then they bring in Shanahan, right? Just like thinking about like the success that they had when they were terrible for so long. Harbaugh comes in and turns that thing around. Sorry, Brendan.
No, you're 100% right. Like, yeah, they had a couple few years, like the Jim Tomasula era. That was a year. Chip Kelly era. That was also a year, you know, before he got to Shanahan. But like, yeah, he put them back on the map. He resurrected Alex Smith's career. I think the biggest thing is like the Bears are afraid of these big personalities and people who are going to challenge them and potentially, you know, rock the boat a little bit. That's also why I think Mike Vrabel might not be the best hire, and why, at least, you know, judging from the Bears' perspective, why they may not want him and he may not want to go there. But the fact like, well, Jim Harbaugh wouldn't have come here anyway. They didn't even try. Like, hey, phones work both ways, dumbasses, okay? Like, you can reach out and say, hey, Jim, any interest in possibly coming to the Bears? And if he would have said no, okay, fine. But at least they would have tried. Ryan Poles sat up there with Matt Eberflus when he was asked, I think by Mark Potash, credit to him, who, when he said, what about Jim Harbaugh? And Ryan Poles said, he is the coach at Michigan. And then 2 weeks later, he took the Chargers job. Like, no, that conversation could have been had. You chose not to do it. And look what happened. Now you're dealing with the fact that he is a very good head coach. He's turned the Chargers around. How about this? The Chargers, like, they go through coaches sometimes, but yet they still have success under them. They've been in the playoffs multiple times. Staley, Lynn, McCoy, now Harbaugh. Like, the Bears can't even get it right with one guy. Well, I don't know. It's just, I'll never let it go. I'll probably stop posting about it, but I'm never going to forget that they did not even want to have a conversation with that man.
And they didn't want to have a conversation with Kansas City's quarterback. And even though he turned out to be a super creep, they didn't want to have a conversation with Deshaun Watson. I don't know how we overcome those like successive, perpetual, egregious errors. I just don't. If Ben Johnson somehow decides to come here and makes it all right and everything gets aligned, then great. And I hope so. But I'm just at this point, fellas, like I've said before, I just don't know how you suddenly like And now all of a sudden we're on track. And now all of a sudden all those egregious errors are no longer egregious errors.
We stopped cheering for the Bears. I mean, I think there's been about five people that have said something along the lines of go back when George Halas decided to let the McCaskies get it, right? Which we talked about at one point. Maybe he didn't. Maybe they killed him or whatever it was.
I mean, that was crazy. That stuff is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, but everybody knows. The
broadcast was, I mean, that was about as blatant as you can get in terms of just throwing the Bears and their organization under the bus. I mean, those guys all but were laughing out loud about the way that the Bears organization is run.
The McCaskies. Well, I mean, just very quick.
I was going to say, go ahead. Sorry.
Very quick. The McCaskies heard sell the team. I don't think that's really been a thing at Soldier Field.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Ryan. Like, the sell the team. First off, yes, it's, as far as I know, and other writers, like, that is the first time that's ever happened there, which is, I think, very damning. And also, yeah, like, if the broadcasters are hearing that, of course they're going to make fun of the team and the organization. Like, they're hearing sell the team chants. Like, yes, that's easy fodder for them. Although, I will say, I'm surprised that Kirk Herbstreit did not make a case for the Bears to make the NFL playoffs because of how strong their division is and that they should be proud and how well they played those teams versus other teams who are going to get in the playoffs.
So much
Ryan doesn't get it.
So much sarcasm.
Whatever. It's
fine. I can. Kirk Herbstreit got mad that like certain SEC teams were left out of the college football playoff, and like teams like Indiana were let in because they won games. He essentially said, he's like, we need to stop looking at things like wins. Like, they're not as important or whatever. It was like the dumbest thing. Everybody clowned him for it. So that's why I'm like, well, maybe he should say the same thing about the Bears because of how good their division is.
There's been some awful announcing this season, not just for the Chicago Bears. Brendan, I know you tweeted about it. Tom Brady, he's bad. And Greg Olsen is the best in the business. And you made Greg Olsen not be the top guy for Tom Brady. Like, that's you just woof. That's a bad situation. Hey, boys, how about this? Because I'm done being angry. How freaking awesome is it to watch Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen play football? You know, I know, like, and even Saquon, like, you would put those four dudes in co-MVPs? Like, no, it's never going to happen. But, like, I love watching the four of those people play football. Like, it's Joe Burrow willed that team to a victory. Like, oh, you're going to miss a 33-yard field goal? Okay. All right, fine. I got to go back and I got to throw a 3-yard touchdown pass when we're, like, right there. It's insane. It was absolutely insane, dude. And so I enjoyed the shit out of watching those games, watching at least parts of those games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the last meaningful football. Well, actually, I guess we'll get a little bit of meaningful football next week in terms of some seeds and potential wild cards, but I agree. And you're right. I mean, it, like, watching Ladd McConkey be so good, watching Brock Bowers break, you know, the coach's record. By the way, coach set that record in 14 games. That's insane. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that is insane.
A little bit of Bears pride there because now they play 18 and dude set that record in 14. So props to Iron Mike Ditka on that particular account. I mean, again, Malik Nabers, just crazy good on a crazy bad team. And again, I think with Burrows, he was sacked 7 times. He was hit 15 times and nonetheless, like, figured out a way to win that game. So yeah, watching elite football players play elite football, and even just watching the way that particular, like, that Cincy game turned out with the doink and that whole thing was so fun, so exciting. It's why we love football, which, juxtaposed to what we've been talking about most of this episode, is not why we love football at all.
The Chicago Bears are not why we love football.
No. No. I don't like it.
I honestly thought I needed a palate cleanser, like, to get, like, away from football this weekend because of what happened on Thursday. But no, you're right. Like, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to watch some of those big performances. I don't know about you guys. I think if I got to root for an NFC North team, I think I'm rooting for the Vikings. I don't feel good about it, but, like, you know, they're the lesser of two, three evils, I guess.
I don't hate the Vikings or the Lions. I just don't hate them. I don't necessarily love them, but I don't hate them. I effing hate the Packers. And I was hoping they were going to get throat stomped, but Matt LaFleur is too damn good of a coach to allow that to happen. So they came back and the Vikings still won, right? Flores defense, what is that? Like, they play so well. And then it seems like towards the end of games that they sometimes like let it go a little bit. I mean, I know that happened with us the first time we played them. I don't hate them. I don't think either one of them is going to make it to the Super Bowl, but I don't know. Could be wrong.
You don't think the Vikings? I thought the Vikings tonight looked like they could make it to the Super Bowl. Who are they going to get beat?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's beat the Eagles. If as long as everyone stays healthy on the Eagles, I think they can beat you through the air. They can beat you on the ground. It does, like, they could just will their way. As long as everyone is healthy, I think it's the Eagles.
I don't know, man. I think an NFC North team's going to the Super Bowl because, like, either the Vikings or the Lions have home field advantage. I just think, like, the Eagles coming into one of those places, that's going to be really tough. We'll see about the Lions with their injury issues, because I think they could, yeah, you know, like, next week is going to tell a lot when it comes down to Vikings Lions. But I don't know, man. Like, I would have picked the Eagles maybe like 4 weeks ago, but now, I don't know.
I agree. I think the Vikings get the edge only because of Detroit's injuries. Otherwise, I think they're on par with one another, or Detroit has a slight edge. But I don't know how you overcome that, like, that bevy of injuries if you're the Lions and still be able to advance.
I'm getting excited talking about all these really good football teams, and then I remembered, oh, we're in the NFC North. And even if we get a halfway decent coach next year, he's got to go up against Campbell, LaFleur, and KOC. That's insane. It's a murderer's row, man. It's just crazy how good those coaches are and just how bad this organization is. Boys, anything that we missed? Anything that we want to chat about?
I guess only just one other thing on that. The fact that Sam Darnold, like, wasn't even expected to start, that we just dogged him, as we've talked about before, and the season that he's had. It's just, that is insane to me that he could be as good as he's been all season long. It's just good for him, dude. Like, good for him.
Yeah, I already ate crow a couple weeks ago when I made my public apology for just, you know, saying, oh yeah, Sam Darnold's not going to do shit. Kirk Cousins, you shouldn't have let him go, because at least he's going to be a better quarterback. Like, thinking that J.J. McCarthy was eventually going to take over. And that's tough. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, I can sort of feel okay that, hey, if the Vikings do get there, I don't hate it nearly as much as Detroit or Green Bay.
Yeah. If Green Bay goes, that's just not fun. But I mean, is anyone from the NFC gonna beat those top AFC teams? Do you know what I mean? Like, forget that the Chiefs only lost one freaking game this year. Their offense wasn't great, but they could beat you with all you know, with offense, defense, and special teams. You know what I mean? And then there's the Bills that are there. There's the Ravens are, I mean, like, that's a crazy, crazy good, you know, lineup of playoff teams.
Mm-hmm. One thing, sorry, I want to get to a question I saw pop up from Vizzo Joe. Brendan, do you think Poles cast a wide net for head coach like he did with OC, but since that was an epic failure, just have a short list? No, I think they are casting a wide net from the names that have popped up. I mean, you can read the tea leaves. Brian Flores, Cliff Kingsbury, Mike Vrabel, Ben Johnson. I mean, like, the Pete Carroll thing, the interest was mutual from what we've heard. So, like, that is definitely a wide net. We'll see who's calling the shots, though. Is it Kevin Warren? Is it Ryan Poles? Like, who's kind of driving that wide net approach? I definitely think Kevin Warren has his fingers in it quite a bit. So, I think they are going to, you know, really look for a bunch of different candidates to see what they could possibly bring.
Cool. Anybody else? Any other question? I think we got, Philip, AFC is stacked. Totally agree with you. I think that's it. Time to get to shout outs, boys. For shout outs, let's go Jack, Brendan, and I will finish it up. Shout outs, boys.
Okay, quick shout out. I had a nice interaction with on X, a gentleman called Just a Dude. He's at R Craig Riz, and we didn't agree necessarily about the demise of the Chicago Bears and why it is that their futility has been perpetual, but it was still a nice dialogue. And as we've talked about before, you know, on this show especially, we especially appreciate the dialogue. We appreciate the dialogue that is respectful, that is kind. We respect people who don't choose to take personal shots, who, I guess, you know, when they come on, they like make comments that are actually like factual or substantial or about the Bears, but not like about us personally in any way. Cause that's just weird to me. I don't know. I'm not sure why anybody would spend any time on any medium, like with the sole purpose of just trying to drag other people down. But like, particularly like, you know, this gentleman that I mentioned, he just wanted to have a really good dialogue about the Bears, and that's what we're here for. That's what we've always been here for. And we like to keep it above board that way, you know? So really appreciate having those conversations, even with people that disagree with us, those people that do it in a respectful way. Like, we're here for you all day. And the rest of you, you can go pound sand and you can pound it all day long. And then after that, you can kick rocks. Because like we don't really have any time for you. So shout out to the good ones out there.
All right. I got a couple, shout out to Mark Gallo. This gentleman, popped into my mentions earlier in the week. I think I was talking about, oh yeah, I had a tweet about Dan Quinn, just thinking, you know, saying he was a head coach finalist. And he said, I said Bears had Dan Quinn as a head coach finalist, but they probably didn't hire him because of his potty mouth, because he was swearing, you know, celebrating the big win that they had over the Eagles last week. Mark Gallo tweets, true story. My brother and I sat directly next to George in London. My brother cursed one time and George asked him to stop. He then threatened to call security on two British fans who were cursing. No wonder he hires chumps. He has no clue what the job takes. And then just to prove that he was actually there, he showed the picture of him and his brother with George. And I'm like, I was like, that's unbelievable and believable at the same time. And he kind of popped off a little bit with that. So just the most George Wikowski story, that this man wanted to call security for guys who were swearing while at the Bears Jaguars game, is unfreaking believable. Another shout out to they're our friends, I'd say. We've done some stuff with them. The NFL Australia NFL account, they just willed something into existence when they tweeted out promoting the game. Both punters, like, they had them like showcased. It looked like two quarterbacks getting ready to duel, but it was Michael Dixon and Torrey Taylor basically promoting the Australians that were playing in the game. And sure enough, it lived up to the hype, because they were like, I think a combined 13 punts in that game. They were easily the stars of the show. And so I just tweeted out like, hey, it lived up to the hype. And even, I think he deleted it at one point, but even I saw Reek Woolen, the Seahawks cornerback who intercepted Caleb at the end of the game, he even retweeted it. So just shout out to them for just providing great content, because they clearly knew what kind of game that was going to be with the Bears and Seahawks. So yeah, shout out to them.
They're Aussies, right? So you got to represent the people that are from Australia. So good on them. I got a lot of shout outs, guys. I'm really sorry, but the first one goes to Scott Swartz. Scott is one of our good friends of the pod, and just I know he's on a really long road trip. So Scott, thank you for always supporting us. We appreciate you very, very much. She has never got a shout out from me, and I don't know if maybe she's gotten a shout out from you guys. And I'm sorry if it's Sharon or Sharon Willis. She retweets a lot of our stuff. She is awesome and just has some really, 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 really good interactions. So I think it's Sharon Willis. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you. Angie/hockey girl. How freaking awesome is Angie? Has anyone ever had a bad interaction with Angie? Because I don't think so. So Angie, Like, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate you just for being a positive person. Like, just that in and of itself. It's not always easy to do, you know, and I just, this Bears season, man, just people, just the vitriol and just, it's just not as much fun when people are just so angry all the time because Bears suck, right? So there's that. And then the last one is going to go to my guy, Logan Bradley. Logan and I got to sit down and have lunch. He lives out in LA. He was in town for a little bit of time, and we got to make it, and it was super awesome. So, Logan, it was really great to see you, buddy. I miss you, and it's nice seeing your mustache on the pod. Man, there's a lot of places to get your Bears content, but you've chosen to hang out with the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Man, numbers tonight were really, really awesome. So thank you for all of you that were hanging out here with the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Truly means a lot. We know you can get your Bears content anywhere, and you were choosing to hang out with us. That means a lot to us. You can help us out. You can hit us with a 5-star review. You can hit like. You can subscribe. Find a comment on YouTube. Throw some stuff back and forth at us. Like this episode. We sure would appreciate it. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, so that's Brendan Shabrew, Jack Wright, Logan Bradley, Patrick Sheldon, Cam Ellis, I'm Ryan Dango, folks. I just got to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And as always, folks, bear down, Chicago.